This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Curated jazz nights at the Jazz Lab has become a three-year experience for Melbourne contemporary composer and pianist Andrea Keller. Andrea started curating Monday nights at the Jazz Lab in 2017 and has featured various groups and themes, including the Masters and Apprentices series, Five Below, the Composer's Circle, Piano Club, Solo, Duo, Trio Series, and Celebrating Voice. It's a list that goes on and on. All those Monday nights have created such a huge legacy of great music, and fortunately, some of it has been preserved for posterity through the recording of some of those concerts. Andrea has just released the first volume of the Monday Nights Live at the Jazz Lab series, being the Composer's Circle for this first volume. It's my pleasure to wish a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes to Andrea Keller.
Thanks so much, David.
It's lovely to have you back with us again, Andrea. It is a bit of a strange time at the moment. What are you doing to ensure that the time is not wasted and that you are able to get something out of this strange time in the world?
I'm really enjoying spending time with my family. So I'm doing a lot of that, as most people are at the moment. Cooking and walking and cooking with the kids, which is really lovely, and doing lots of baking and all of that. So in terms of family connection, that's well being taken care of. And then musically, I can't obviously do live performances. I've done a small smattering of online sort of things. But really, I've been buckling down and writing music. I'm working on a couple of commissions. And also just putting out a lot of music. So this second half of the year, I'm putting out, I think, four albums all up. And there'll be a few more next year as well. So it's just a sort of body of work that's been accumulating for a while in terms of recordings, a lot of live recordings particularly. Slowly putting all of those together and getting them released.
Does that mean that you've actually had time to be able to sit down and listen through all the tapes?
Absolutely.
How did it feel going through the tapes that obviously have gone back a couple of years in some instances?
It was actually a pleasant surprise in some instances, because I often listen to the recording not long after it's been done. When you listen quite closely to the performance, it's really hard to detach yourself from the feelings that you had at the time. So if you weren't particularly happy with the way things were going or whatever, you might still have the memory of that when you're listening to the music. But when you leave it a year or more, you don't have those connections anymore. The feelings don't come up in you. And so I had some expectations of how I thought the music was going to sound based on my memory of it. But I was able to listen to it with fresh ears and then go, oh, wow, actually, there's some nice stuff in there.
It's nice when something like that happens, that you go back to something you've done years ago and you hear something that you weren't expecting.
Absolutely, yeah, the surprise. And, yeah, just I'm so fortunate to play with so many fantastic musicians, particularly great improvisers and composers in their own right. So it's been great going through that.
Has that been one of the attractions of curating a weekly music night at the Jazz Lab, being able to interact with so many great musos?
Absolutely. And I'm really lucky that the people that I work with just want to make music. They're really keen to play. They're keen to try anything. So what a fantastic position to be in as someone who's curating a night, to be able to do all these wonderful things and just dream up projects and then make them happen. It's a real luxury.
When you started the process of curating Monday nights, did you have a sense of where it would go and how long it would last for?
Not really. I mean, obviously I wanted it to go for a long time, and when I was approached to do it, it was with the idea that it would go for a long time. The Jazz Lab is run by Michael Tortoni, who ran and owned Bennett's Lane. Alan Brown held the Monday night residency at Bennett's Lane for 20 years. So there's certainly a history of that. When Michael approached me, it was to do a similar thing. But I think, you know, at the beginning, I had some ideas of how I could run it. But the more I've been able to do it, the ideas have just grown and changed. And one of the most exciting things is collaborating with all these different people. Some of them I know and some of them I don't, which is a really exciting part of it, that I get to form all these new musical relationships.
I suppose the musos that you know how they play, you know what they do. So there's a sense of perhaps not surprise when you put them together. But when you get someone who you've not worked with before, that must be challenging but also thrilling at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, with anyone, because we're improvising, not just from scratch, but there is still a lot of improvisation in there. And of course, the best musos will be improvising all the time anyway and throwing in all these surprises. But certainly when you're playing with new people and you don't have a shared language yet necessarily, there's a lot more surprise and a lot more negotiation and just feeling your way through the music together. But that can yield some stunning results that are really surprising and fulfilling. Then, of course, some of those new partnerships or relationships, I've then chosen to do them more often to see where they might go. So that's been nice too, seeing the development of those new bands.
There's certainly been a number of different themes over the years. The piano club sort of sounds pretty explanatory. It must be piano-based. Celebrating Voices, voice-based. But then you've had Five Below, Masters and Apprentice Composers Circles. How have you come up with these ideas about these different themes and these different groups?
The Composers Circle is it's a sextet of musicians who are all composers as well. So the idea of that night, we used to play the first Monday of every month. Everyone brings in their original material and then we play it together. So sometimes we have world premieres or music that's maybe been written for a different occasion or context and it's now been reworked for this group. And I suppose in some ways that was building on the idea of what was the Bennett's Lane Big Band, which happened on the first Monday of every month. It was a bigger ensemble. It was an 11-piece. But I was one of the founding members of that, along with Nick Haywood and Eugene Ball. And we ran that for many years. I think it might have been 13 or something. I can't quite remember. So the Composer's Circle is a smaller version of that, I suppose. Five Below was a band that I just had been dreaming up of, this big, oversized rhythm section with two basses, guitar, piano and drums and pedals and effects. That was a bit of a no-brainer to put that one in and start developing that. And Masters and Apprentices was just born out of an idea of wanting to collaborate with younger musicians and give younger musicians and more experienced musicians a chance to get to know each other and form musical relationships. So that's what that one's about.
That's so important to get the younger musos involved. I suppose it offers the opportunity then for such a great sharing of skills.
That's right. And this music was always, or traditionally, on an apprenticeship type system. It worked on mentoring and all of that. And although some of that has disappeared in some senses from the way the scene works, because we've got universities and a lot of people go to study music in degrees and various things, some of that mentorship is gone. Also, there simply aren't as many gigs, so it's difficult to do that. I was fortunate that Alan Brown mentored me. I had other mentors as well along the way, and, you know, my colleagues have had similar experiences. So I felt like it was a time to try and give that back and give that to the younger generation.
Let's run through who the members are of the Composer's Circle in light of this particular album that has just been released. It's the Composer's Circle. It's the Andrea Keller Curates Monday Nights Live. What a mouthful of a title.
It is. It's too much, isn't it? It's really too much. But I needed to get the information out there.
Oh, indeed. You did, and it's very clear and concise. This is Monday Nights at the Jazz Lab, and it's the Composer's Circle Volume 1. Has the Composer's Circle kept the same members through the years, or has that changed?
It's changed a little bit. On the album, which was recorded in December 2018, at a couple of gigs, at the Jazz Lab. The lineup then was Angela Davis on the alto sax, Carl Mackey on tenor sax, James McCauley on trombone, myself on piano, Sam Manning on double bass, and James McLean on drums.
What a lineup!
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And you all contributed compositions?
That's right. So there's six tunes on the album, one from each member of the band.
When someone brings a piece along and they just put it up on the music stand, what's the first thought you have?
Well, it depends, because being a piano player, I think, you know, being in a rhythm section, you get all kinds of different charts. Like sometimes I'll get a lead sheet which has a melody that I'm not required to play, but I'm required to interpret the chord symbols and create some sort of bed that supports the music or creates a foundation. So I do that with the bass and the drums. But then other times people will give me a chart that's a full piano on a grand stave with dots written everywhere that I have to read, maybe with complex rhythms and time signatures. And so it can really vary. So it depends what they put in front of me.
As to whether the fingers all freeze up or they just keep running.
Yeah, whether I start heavy breathing or something.
When someone brings something new along and puts it up on the stand, does it take long for the group to actually get the good feel for it and get straight into it?
That really depends on the type of tune it is and the type of chart it is. Like as I was describing, my part can be quite varied. It depends how difficult it is, basically. If it's pretty straight up and the chart's quite simple and as soon as we play it once through we get it, then it'll take really quickly. But then other times it might be quite complex and very notated and everyone's got individual parts and there's a lot to take in. You've not only got to figure out your part, but then you've got to figure out how it relates to the other parts and who you should be connected to and who you're opposed to. And, you know, there's a lot to consider sometimes.
A bit of arranging on the run.
Yes. Well, there is that element too. And again, it depends. The thing I like about the Composer's Circle and even the Monday nights in general is that it's like a workshopping kind of, or it's a, you know, not everything's polished. It's a chance to try new things and to experiment and explore. So sometimes when people bring tunes in, they're not fully finished, but I really love that about it. So we're figuring it out together and making suggestions on what we could try.
I love that workshop comparison. It has a sense of let's get in there and have fun rather than we're a really polished super group that's got something spick and span.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Monday nights are perfect for that. I think the audience that come on a Monday night to the Jazz Lab or anywhere actually to hear artists of any sort, they're up for something that's not polished. You know, maybe on a Friday, Saturday night you want something polished, but on a Monday night you want to see people exploring.
This album has six tracks. I loved Hello Jim, which was composed by Carl Mackey, and I loved Him for Hayden, which Angela Davis composed. The piece that you've composed on the album is called Grateful, Hopeful, Joyful. The title suggests there might be a story behind that.
There is a bit of a story. I dedicated this to John Taylor, who was a fantastic British pianist. He died in 2015. I think he was around 70. He was one of my favourite piano players and composers. I was, for a long time, I was introduced to him when I first started studying in Melbourne under Sue Johnson. I was then fortunate to travel to Europe and have a lesson from him, which was really quite a turning point for me. At that lesson, he gave me some different tunes to look at, and one of them was his called Ambleside. And it's quite a beautiful but tricky tune. So I worked on that for a really long time. And then he came to Australia a number of times and I was fortunate to meet with him those times and hear him play. And he even came to hear one of my gigs and was incredibly generous and lovely. So when he passed away, I was incredibly sad and affected by that. And I thought, I really want to write a tribute to him. So I took that tune, Ambleside, that I'd been struggling with for a long time, and created my own tune out of some aspects of it. Called it Grateful, Hopeful, Joyful. It's in three parts. And the first part, Grateful, is just kind of representing that I'm grateful that I met him and that I got to hear his music and everything. Hopeful that I could be even a fraction of the type of person that he was and how generous he was. And joyful that I had the chance to get to know him a little bit.
That is a beautiful way to write a piece of music, Andrea.
Yes.
Absolutely, it was marvellous. And I reckon we should have a listen to that very shortly. That is just a beautiful explanation of the title of that song. So we're going to have a listen to that shortly. Before we do that, this is the first volume in this series. What else can we expect?
Later this year, I'm going to release volume two, and that's going to celebrate some of the solo duo trio nights, particularly some duos and trios, actually, which will feature Stephen Magnusson and Julian Wilson.
Oh, beautiful.
And then another one is Flora Carbo and Theo Carbo. And then also Mick Maher and Eki Veltheim.
What's up next year then from the series?
Maybe some more from the solo duo trio, because I actually recorded about six of them. There's only so much music I want to put on one album before I just feel like I'm, you know, suffocating people.
Yes, I understand that.
Then I was really fortunate early this year, Shannon Barnett, the great trombonist who now lives in Germany, was here and did a little tour with myself and Sam Anning. We have a trio that's been going every time Shannon's in town for the last few years. And so we snuck in this little recording just before COVID hit and everything locked down. And so that's going to come out next year too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that won't be on this series, but that's another trio that'll come out next year.
Well, there's certainly value in recording some of these nights, Andrea. There's some amazing output from it, as we've had proven with Volume 1 here of the Composer's Circle. I would like to say a very big thank you for having a chat to me here on Bent Notes tonight. Really do appreciate it. We haven't mentioned Life is Brutiful either.
No, we haven't.
We must mention that, because that was released earlier in the year. It's a lovely album, and I love the artwork on it. It's a beautiful image of a flower going up in flames.
Yes, it's a fantastic image, isn't it? A great designer that works on my albums.
Well, you keep that designer busy, because that is a beautiful album. Sam Anning's on that. I'll mix on that as well, as is Jane.
That's right, yep.
Because that is Five Below.
That's correct, yes, with Stephen Magnusson as well. And a few special guests on that album, Scott McConaughey and Julian Wilson on saxophones, and also my adult son, Jim Keller, doing some vocals, doing some narration on one of the pieces, which is pretty special.
I heard that and I thought to myself, what a beautiful way to go, get all the family involved.
Yes, just got to wait for the younger two to get a bit older.
Indeed. And that was the album that I think you launched at the Melbourne International Jazz Festival's These Digital Times.
That's correct. Yeah, at the end of June. I believe that's still live, that link. If people want to check out any of those Digital Times concerts, go to the Melbourne International Jazz Festival website and it's all there still.
They're well worthwhile checking out. There's some great music had during those sessions.
Yeah, really fabulous.
Well, Andrea, again, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to seeing more of your music released. But in the meantime, we have so much to enjoy. Life is Brutiful from earlier in the year, and now the Composer's Circle that's just been released. So we've got to get our hands on that from bandcamp.com and search for Andrea Keller. Many of your albums pop up then.
Yes, I've got a bit of a page going on, so go and check it out, please. The first Friday of every month is going to be, for a 24-hour period, they waive all their fees, which is great.
So that means I've got to save up my wants until the first Friday in September.
That's right, yep.
Oh, man.
Yes, excellent.
Right. Andrea, thank you so much for your time again.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
And let's have a listen now to Grateful, Hopeful, Joyful. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.